Welcome to the Wildly Balanced podcast. Wildly Balanced is your weekly permission slip to do business your way. Permission to bring more life into your work-life balance, set better boundaries and stick to them sustainably, release shame and let your wild side flow. Welcome back to another episode of Wildly Balanced. I don't think this will be the first episode of the year, but this is the first episode that I'm filming in 2023. And then I just gotta say, it's weird to like get back into podcasting after like batching so much before. So welcome back to Wildly Balanced. I hope I sound good. I'm also on a new mic. So I forgot my mic. It didn't work for the setup that I'm in currently. So I got a new mic, so hopefully I sound crisp. Today, I'm super excited because I have a super special guest. Her name is Amanda Wan. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Amanda Wan. It's so good to have you. She is a 24-year-old content creator from Montreal. I feel like I've had like two Canadians on here. I'm from the West Coast, so it's really cool to have like Canadians on the thing. She is a full-time freelancer for her business, Wan Media, where she does freelance videos, podcast editing, along with social media management. So it's so good to have you, Amanda.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be on here.
I'm so excited. Can you tell us a little bit more about you and what you're currently balancing in life?
Yeah. So you gave a very good description of what I do. I also have a YouTube channel. I have my own podcast. And I guess little fun facts about me, I love concerts. I go to so many concerts. I love traveling. I love photography. And I guess right now what I'm trying to balance is this new career path along with my mental health, because it's been something that's a little hard to juggle, especially when you're working for yourself and you're in charge of basically everything that you're doing and wanting to succeed in your business, but also having to remind yourself that you have to take breaks and take time for yourself. That's been something that I've had a lot of difficulty just navigating.
First tangent of the episode, what was the last concert that you went to?
The last concert that I went to, was Noah Cyrus in Montreal. Ooh. Yeah, and I have two coming up in March, so that's exciting.
That's so fun. That's so exciting. That must have been such a good concert.
Yeah, it was. And it was a very last minute thing. I got the ticket like the day before because it was sold out. And one of my friend's friends was selling a ticket and knew I wanted to go. So then I bought it off them and then I went. So it was very last minute, but fun.
Oh my God, meant to be. That's so fun.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to the episode. I'm super excited to talk today because we're going to be talking about like the balancing of the good and bad of being your own boss. And as someone, I've had my business here for going on 4 years now, which is crazy. Started like pre-pandemic. So there's definitely been some ups and downs with business and being your own boss and just remembering to do everything.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about why you started your business and like your YouTube channel and the podcast? Also shameless self-promo, shameless promo. I'm going to be on an episode of your podcast. So yes, go check that out. Behind the Girl Boss. I love that name.
Thank you. It took me a while to figure out, but I guess I'll start with the first everything. So YouTube was my first ever like outlet that I started on. I initially started when I was like 15 or 16 in high school, and I would post like random funny videos, and people in high school found it. They made fun of me. I deleted it. And I was like, I'm never doing this again. Like, I'm not putting myself out there. And I was also a very reserved, shy person. So doing that was already a big step for me, and to have people make fun of me for it kind of like made me not want to do anything anymore. But I was like the kid that grew up on YouTube. Like, I watched every single YouTuber. It was my thing. I initially started because I kind of used it as like an outlet to get my thoughts and like emotions and like creative side out, because like I said, I was very shy, so I really didn't do anything. So it started like that. But then when I deleted it, I was like, okay, like that's it. Like, I'm never doing this again. And then when I went to college, it sparked in me again. And I was like, I really want to like restart YouTube. I want to like do that. So I started again when I was 18 or 19. I don't really remember. And I've been doing it ever since. And my content has definitely changed. Like I said, I used to do like skits and stuff, like random stuff. And now I do more like vlog and like entrepreneurship content. So it's been fun to evolve that. And then my podcast started, I think, 2019. So like right before the pandemic. I wanted to talk more about business on my YouTube, but I was like, I don't want to put it on my main channel because then I'm going to have too many different things. And I didn't want to start a second channel because it's a lot of work to like have one channel going. And I was like, oh, like maybe I can start a podcast. Like they're not really big right now. I feel like it'd be fun to like explore the outlet. So that's how my podcast started. It took me forever to figure out the name. I'm so bad with names. And then my business started, I guess, while I was in college. Some people reached out to me and they were like, hey, like, do you like do video editing? And I was like, oh, I don't really do video editing for anyone other than myself. But I was like, let me try. I obviously severely undercharged then because I did not know what you're supposed to charge. And then it kind of just
struggle.
Yeah. Cause no one talks about it. And I'm like, okay, let me just throw out a number that I think is good. And it definitely wasn't. And then I just started getting more people like reaching out to me because they heard that I edit for other people. And it kind of just kept growing from there. And then I came to a point where I was like, okay, after I'm done like university, do I want to go into the corporate world or do I want to work for myself? And I knew like for so long that I didn't want to work an office job. I'm like not meant to sit in the same spot all day long and do the exact same things every day. Like I knew that deep down, but then everyone was always like, oh, like you have to try corporate. You have to try 9 to 5. I was like, I'm not doing that. So then I started my business and I quit my part-time job in August of like 2022. So not that long ago. So I've been doing this full-time since August. So that's kind of everything right now.
That's so exciting. First off, congratulations for being full-time in your business. That's huge. I love that you kind of started with YouTube and then like it kind of like snowballed into like building this empire and being your own boss.
Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite like stream of content that you produce?
I think it like always like changes. Right now, I'm really liking the podcast. I feel like it's really fun because I'm like able to connect with people from everywhere. Like, because I live in Canada, so I talk to a lot of people in the US, I talk to a lot of people in Europe. So it's cool to like be able to talk to people that I never thought I'd actually be able to talk to, especially like bigger YouTubers that I've watched as well. Like, I think the full circle moment was when I had Remy Cruz on the podcast, if anyone knows her. I like grew up watching right her. Now. Yeah, I grew up watching her and I was like, there wasn't a lot of like Asian representation on YouTube as well. So like, she was like, the person I can look at and be like, oh my God, like I look like her when I was younger. So having her on the podcast was just like a full circle moment. So I think right now it's the podcast, but YouTube's always like my favorite too. So it's kind of hard.
I'm like full on fangirling right now. That's so fun. That must've been like,
that was amazing. Crazy. Like I had tweeted one day and I was like manifesting having Remy Cruz on the podcast one day and I went to bed and then I woke up and she had followed me and DM'd me and she was like, hey, like I'd love to come on your podcast. And I was like, I didn't actually think like, you know, when you tweet things, but like, or like say things, you don't actually like think it's going to happen. And it did. And I was like, oh my God.
The power of manifestation. That's so fun. I've been like really into Pretty Basic lately. So that's wild. That's so fun.
Crazy.
Congrats.
Thank you.
I love podcasting too. Like, obviously this is a podcast, but I feel like podcasting feels like this exclusive little club of like the podcast listeners get like first access or like little secret tips kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's more like raw and like not severely edited and everything like that.
Totally. Feels more vulnerable for sure.
Yeah.
Totally. I also love how you kind of talked about the fluidity of entrepreneurship of like, you're not meant to be in an office of doing the same thing every day. And it's like, for me, like my day-to-day kind of looks pretty similar, but like also I get the fluidity of like being able to travel with it. Like right now I'm staying at a friend's house in Whistler in BC. And like, I don't know where I'm going to be next, but like I get the fluidity of taking it with me.
Yeah. I mean, like when I was telling you about concerts and stuff, like I like concerts and I like to travel. So now I've been able to like go to different places and travel and go to concerts, but also work at the same time. Like in March, I'm going to see Nessa Barrett in New York. And obviously I'm still going to have to work, but I'm able to do that now.
Totally. Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah. Love it.
That's amazing. Can you tell me a little bit more about your journey of like dealing with mental health as a business owner and like kind of like the transition of going full time and what that was like for you?
Yeah. So I'll give a little back story. So I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety when I was like 16, 17. So it's been something that I've struggled with way before I even had like my business, but kind of jumping full force into it and having to be in charge of everything, having to be organized and like, one second.
That's all good.
Yeah. Someone just like slammed their car door. Oh, damn. Someone like Someone slammed their door outside and he obviously heard. Okay, yeah. So jumping full force into my business and being in charge of everything, you also can't really have a day where you just don't do things because it's for other people. So it's not like it's my own work, like my YouTube or my podcast. I can obviously put that off if I need to. But when I'm working for someone else and producing their content, I can't really just be like, oh, like, I don't want to work today. Like, I'm not, I can't have like a call in sick day type of thing. So that's been something that I have to like work on, and also giving myself time off, because I feel like I've had burnout before because I've put too much on my plate and I didn't know how to just relax and chill. And I got to a point where even now, sometimes when I'm not doing anything, I'm like, oh my God, like I should be doing something. Like I should be working on this or that. And I just don't know how to like chill. And that's something that I'm still like working on. Like the other day, I didn't have anything because it was just like the holidays were just ending. And like, obviously people aren't producing as much content the first like few days of January. And I was sitting there and I was like, I need to be doing something. Like, I feel like I'm not doing enough when I am. So that's been something, yeah, that I'm struggling with. And it makes me very anxious sometimes when I'm not doing anything, which is not a good thing. So I'm just trying to work through that and understand that more.
Totally. I feel like burnout is so common in the online world. Like I've been pretty open about my journey with burnout lately. In the end of 2022, I've been really like struggling with burnout a lot. And what I'm bringing into 2023 is this new respect for my business of like actually treating it like a business. Cause the same way, like I was always like, I have to be working. And even now I have like two clients right now that I work with. So it's like not as much work as I've done in the past when I've had like six clients or eight clients kind of thing. But like I'll get to the end of my to-do list and I'll like check everything off. And then I'll have this moment of like, but what else? Like clearly I'm missing something. Yeah. And it's like, no, you're
right. It's like, yeah, like you don't realize, because like people in 9 to 5s is like they go to work 9 to 5 and then they shut off at 5 and then like they do whatever they want with their night. And they're like, for us, it's like sometimes at night I'm like, I need to be doing something, or like I don't know how to stop working. Sometimes I catch myself at like 11 p.m. or like 12 a.m. doing things. I'm like, I should be sleeping. Like I should not be doing this right now. And it's hard to like really just close everything.
Totally. I totally feel that. I do that too sometimes. But sometimes I'll like sleep in and be like, no, it's okay. I can work till midnight, you know? And that's kind of the fluidity of owning your own business. But I'm also the kind of person who's like, I'll do like my client paid work for the day. Mm-hmm. And then I'll sit and be like, oh, I have nothing to do. Like I can go hang out. I can sign off. But then it's like in the back of my mind, it's like, or you could write a blog. You could record a podcast. Yeah. Like there's stuff you can do for your own business kind of thing. Yeah. So
it's hard to shut off completely.
Totally. That's one of my intentions for 2023 is like to be able to like sign off and just like not be on call 24/7 like I have been in the past, or that I felt like I've been in the past.
Yeah. I feel like even me, like sometimes I get an email and I answer within like 2 minutes. I'm like, you do not need to be doing that unless it's like really, really urgent. Like there's no reason for me to answer within 2 minutes, especially when it's like 9 p.m. at night. Like that's something that I need to like work on as well. Because I still do it sometimes. And then I catch myself after I click send and I'm like, I shouldn't have done that. So that's something that I'm learning as well.
Totally. Oh my God. I did that yesterday. It was like 7 p.m. or something. And I use Voxer to talk to my clients a lot. And I got the notification on my phone and I like opened it and like responded right away. And even the message was like from one of my team members. And she was like, do not answer this now, but like for tomorrow. Like, can you get me that graphic kind of thing? And I was like, oh yeah, totally. And I was like, why am I answering this late at night on a Monday?
No, yeah, like I'm the same. Like it's hard to just not do it because I'm like, oh, like they're my clients. But yeah, it's just, it's a learning curve that we all have to like understand at one point and realize that our time is also valuable. I think that's something that we don't realize as business owners, that we're not like, we don't need to be available 24/7.
Amen. I think that's, yeah. I love how this is just like you and me being like, yeah, we don't need to respect your
mental health. Yeah, me saying all this, but then after this, I'm like going to do what I just said not to do because I can't take my own advice sometimes.
I feel that. It's a learning curve.
Yeah.
It's a learning curve. You can't build sustainable habits overnight. Got to be slow.
Exactly.
Slow rising. Totally. Yeah. And I've also like realized, I was like, why am I so exhausted all the time? And I realized that like, I'll only do like a couple hours of paid work, but then I'll be at my computer like worrying about it for like 8 hours that day. And it's like, well, I only got like 3 hours of work done. And it's like, no, you thought about it for 8 hours. I've also in my business, like I never did like the corporate route or anything before I started my business, but I've like obviously worked jobs before.
Yeah.
And it was this weird learning curve of like, when you're at a job, you clock in and you clock out and then you go home. And then working from home, like in during the like quarantine and everything, my desk was like in my bedroom. So it was like, I'd get out of bed and go to my desk. And then when I'd eat, I'd like go to my desk and like keep answering emails. And it's like, I've never really, something I noticed last year is I never took like an unpaid lunch break kind of thing. Like I never did like a signed off lunch break. That's something I'm trying to prioritize this year, is like, I don't need to check emails while I'm eating. I can have an hour to myself in the middle of the day.
Exactly. Like I would be like eating and like editing a podcast. And I'm like, I just need like to make sure, like realize that I like my time, like I said, my time is valuable and I can give myself time off if I need to, even if it's like 30 minutes and not an hour one day, like at least like I give myself time to not be working and actually take a break that you would take at like a 9 to 5.
Totally. I'm curious what an important lesson that you've learned over your career is, maybe in the transition of like going full time or even just like balancing both the corporate and the, or corporate-ish and the like online job.
I think something that I learned is, that's good. I don't know if it's about my like freelance, technically might be like more towards my YouTube like content that I create, but just like being yourself in every aspect. And this is something that I've learned from clients too, is like, sometimes we try to put on like a facade of someone we're not, or like we try and act a way that we're not. And I think that's something that I've dealt with a lot. I try and put on this like, well, I used to try and put on this like fake persona of like, I'm always happy. I'm always like, everything's always good. Even though it's not always good. Like sometimes like in your business, like 1 month is like not as good as the other month, but like you put on this like, oh, whatever, like everything's good. Or like, you're always happy when you're not. I feel like that's something that I've learned over the years, is that it's okay to show like your vulnerable side, and it's okay to not be happy all the time, and it's okay to show that. I feel like that makes us like more relatable to whoever is consuming the content or just like following our journey, to be real and honest, because I think that's something that lacks a lot. And when I first started like freelance and everything, everyone was like, oh, it's so easy, like you're gonna make this much money in like the first like 2 months. And that was not the reality. And on TikTok, that's all I see. It's like, oh, like how to make your first like, how to make 50K in your first month of like working for yourself. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm so behind on that. That's not even like near what I'm making. And I had to realize that not everything I see on the internet is true and like accurate.
That's so true. I know that you kind of see that in like your niche and your field too, but I work with a lot of like life coaches and like online coaches. And that's so big in that industry of like, never work a day in your life and make millions of dollars by doing like, you know, by life coaching. And it's like, it is a lot of work. You do have to do a lot of work. And it is like, I think it creates this unrealistic expectation of like, you don't actually have to put in the hard work kind of thing. Like you can just like,
just
manifest your dream life, you know? And it's like, you didn't just tweet out to like Remy Cruz and it happened. Like people retweeted it. Active manifestation, you know?
Exactly. And I think that's something that I had to realize too, because I thought I was behind or I was doing something wrong because my business didn't look as successful as other people's. But then I was like, I don't even know these people. So one, I don't know if they're telling the truth. And two, everyone's journey is different. And everyone that I know personally that has their own business that I spoke to told me the first year is the hardest year because you're just learning everything. And I had to remind myself that and bring myself down to like, okay, it's going to be okay. I'll get to like where I want to be, but it's not going to happen overnight.
Totally. That's something I'm trying to like also bring into this year's, is like releasing shame around stuff of like, I'm not where I should be.
Yeah.
It's like, I did a podcast about it like a couple episodes back, and it was redefining what success looked like for me. Cause it's like, if you, your idea of success is like $1 million in your first month, then more power to you. Get it. But like success to me has never been like a money amount or like a finite amount of money. Like my idea of success in my business is to be able to like take it with me, you know, like take it with me and travel and be able to work
exactly
like cool places.
Yeah.
So that was a huge like growth thing for me, is like redefining what success looks like. Cause for years I was like, well, I'm not making 10K months and I'm not doing this. And it's like, so.
Honestly, if you're happy and like you're, the lifestyle that you live is like sustainable with whatever like amount someone makes. I think that's like what matters. And yeah, like you said, it's also different for everyone. Like everyone's vision of success is different. And I had to remind myself that as well, because maybe that person that made like 50K in their first month, that was their goal and they got to that, but that wasn't mine to begin with, because I think it's a little unrealistic, but I don't know. It changes for everyone and everyone needs to remember that.
Totally. I love this conversation so much. It's so good. I'm curious if there's anything, like any kind of stream of freelancing that you're curious about that you haven't tried yet, that you're like, maybe I'll dabble in the new year.
Ooh, well, I kind of have a bit. I know like digital planners and all that is like very big right now. And at the end of 2022, I released my first three. So that's something I want to like grow this year, because it's passive income as well. I guess it's freelance too. I don't know. But it's like passive income that a lot of people have been talking about recently. So I've been dabbling a bit in that. Other than that, I don't know. I used to do freelance photography and I stopped like 3 years ago. So maybe bringing that back if I have time. Like I said, I don't want to put too much on my plate, but those would be the two that I would navigate, like both of those.
Ooh, that's so fun. I want to hear more about the planners. Shameless self-promo. Where can we find them?
Yeah, you can find them on Etsy. It's linked in my Instagram bio. But yeah, I have a daily planner, I have a content planner, and then I have a monthly goals planner, because I'm a very big goal person. I love goal setting. Even if I don't hit them, it's just really fun to me. So I have those three right now. I'm looking at adding more maybe in like March, but those are the three that I have now and they're all on my Etsy.
Ooh, literally, I'm going to check those out when we sign off. That's so fun. I've been looking into, like, I've been wanting to get one. So this is the sign that I needed. So thank you. That's so fun. Those all sound fun. And I think, or those all sound really great. And I love that you're not putting too much on your plate or too much pressure on yourself. You're just like, if I want to, I'm going to. And if I don't want to, I won't.
Yeah. I feel like at one point I was always like, everything I'm interested in, I need to like make it like monetized and I need to like make it a stream of income. And then that's when I realized that everything I was passionate about, I was trying to turn into a job, which like I can keep things just for myself for fun. I don't have to like make everything about like monetization. Like, I feel like that's what like TikTok told me. And because like during COVID, everyone was making all these businesses with all their passions. And I was like, I need to do that. Then I just like remind myself that like some things are just for fun and that's okay.
Some things are just for fun and that's okay. I love that. Yeah. As soon as you start to monetize your passions, they turn into not passions.
Turn into jobs. Because you're like so stressed about them at some points and you're like thinking of new ways to make money from them or like how to like promote them and things like that. It just doesn't become fun anymore.
Totally. I love that we're talking about like YouTube and that too, because that's also something that like my partner and I have been wanting to like kind of start as like one of the travel YouTubers, because like in 2022 we went to Bali and New Zealand, which was really fun, and we didn't like, he did like TikToks and stuff, which was fun, but we didn't like document a whole lot of it. But it's one of those things that we've always wanted to kind of dabble in, like maybe start travel YouTube.
And it's, even if like you don't do it for like the gaining followers and type of thing, I feel like just reflecting back, like I go watch my old videos sometimes from like 4 years ago of me, like, I don't know, in LA for the first time. And it's so fun to like just see myself in that place 4 years ago, because you see so much like growth within yourself, and just reflecting back, it's like a good memory keeper.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah, my phone keeps giving me like, this is what you did like 4 years ago today. And I'm like, wow, who is she?
Literally. Like when I look at my first ever video, it's so embarrassing. I think it's like 7 years ago now. It was like an Omegle video and I don't know what I was doing in it, but it was just embarrassing. And I was like, I can't believe I put that out. But like now, like looking back at it, it's like funny to me. And it's like, wow, like I really grew as a person and a creator at the same time. And like, even the quality, like I filmed all my videos on my old like MacBook. So like it was all pixelated and like, I like cut off half my face in the videos. Like, I don't know like what I was doing, but like to see like my growth from there has been really fun.
Oh my God. Oh my God. MacBook webcams. That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely changed now.
I love that. I love how that's just a testament to of like, just start, just press record and go on Zoom and press record.
Yeah, because I feel like people, for anything, they think it has to be the perfect timing, the perfect equipment, everything. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't. Like, for example, I know like everyone talks about Charli D'Amelio, but she posted a random TikTok one day and now like look at her life. I'm sure she was like 15. She didn't sit there and like plan out a whole content strategy. Like, she posted a random dancing video and now like her life is like whatever it is now. I can't even imagine being that young and like having my life blow up like that. But I feel like a lot of people, even like the OG YouTubers, like no one knew how big YouTube would be, how like much money you can make on YouTube, how like famous you can get from YouTube, but they just did it for fun. And now like they're living their dream life. So just do it and don't wait for the perfect moment, because there's never actually a perfect moment.
Amen. That reminds me of a client that I have, and she has been really, over the past couple of years, like really diving deep into getting her influencing journey out there and just like posting content and value and being as valuable as possible. And like it never really worked because it was never really like authentic to her, and so she was always kind of like putting on this facade and trying to make it work. And lately she's really, her family, it's like her husband and her daughter, and they love to travel. Like right now they're in like, where are they now? They're in Florida for like 2 months, and she's just posting like things that make her happy. So she's like, you know, healing her inner child and like going to playgrounds with her daughter and like going on hikes. And those videos and those, like that content is doing like so much better than the ones where she's like trying to force it. And I think that's just a testament.
Yeah, I feel like,
of, like
people can tell through the screen as well. Like I have this like series on my channel from a few years ago, or like 2 years ago or something like that, where I was like rediscovering myself, because I feel like at one point I was kind of curating my content to be like the big YouTubers and like acting like them in a way. And I kind of lost myself along the way. So I made a series of like trying to refine like who I am and what I like to post and all those things, which has been really helpful. And I think people can tell through a screen if you're like, you're enjoying the content or if you're not enjoying the content.
Totally. Oh my God. I love that. Shame. Just like shameless plug. I will be stalking you after this. Like I'm going to binge.
Thank
your content.
You. Thanks. I'm almost at 10K on YouTube, which is exciting. It's been something that I wanted to reach since I started like my first old channel. So to see it like finally, probably, well, it will happen. I'm going to put it out there. It's going to happen this year. I'm less than like 1,000 away. So that's exciting.
Oh my God. Everybody stop what you're doing. Put the podcast down. Go follow her on Instagram. Link in the show notes. Or not Instagram, YouTube. Go follow her. Get her to 10K.
Thank you.
That's it. That's the podcast. If anyone is still here, like seriously, just go follow her.
Thanks.
I'm just kidding. That's so exciting. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love those like long-term goals where you're like, I trust that it'll happen. I don't know when, I don't know how, but it'll happen.
Yes, exactly. Just keep putting stuff out there and one day it'll happen.
Amazing. I know we've talked a couple and we've shared some really good tips for like someone hoping to get, one second. My voice, where was I? I know we shared some good tips and we kind of talked about it throughout that entire episode, but I'm curious if you have any tips for like anyone listening who wants to start like a YouTube channel, because I feel like that's kind of like, I mean, not quite my niche, so I don't think it's the podcast niche, you know? So I'm interested to see if you have any tips with that, or like even freelancing, because we have a lot of entrepreneurial listeners, so... Any tips getting started?
For YouTube, I would say, one, like I said, you don't need the perfect equipment. Like nowadays, like even iPhones like have such a good camera. Like you do not need like to invest in like a $2,000 camera right away. Obviously down the road, if you want to get that. But like your phone is perfectly fine. I would also say to make like a content strategy, something that helped me be consistent is at the end of every single month, I kind of plan out the videos that I want to post for the month, the next month. So that like doesn't have me like the day before wanting to post being like, what should I film? I already have my whole plan. And something that I think too is to like, just like I said, be yourself within your content. That really shows through your screen. And consistency. I know everyone says consistency is key, but it's really true. I feel like if you're not consistent, the algorithm doesn't like you as much, which sucks, but it's true. And then for freelance, I would say pick something that you're good at and that you want to explore more. Put yourself out there. Don't be scared to talk about like whatever you offer, and to also remember to have fun with it and not take on too many projects at once, because you want it to be fun and you want it to be a nice experience. And like we said before, like with freelance, you're able to travel, you have more flexibility. You don't want to ruin that experience for yourself by putting too much on your plate where you're not able to I don't know, take some time off and you're not able to take an afternoon off or you're not able to travel and actually enjoy yourself because you have too much work. So I think that's like what my tips that I would give.
Those are so good. So good. You just inspired me too. Cause I don't really plan out the podcasts. I just like see what guests we have and see what like comes like intuitively kind of thing, what I want to talk about. But I love the idea of like making a plan for your month so that they all kind of flow. Cause yeah, I also sometimes you see, yeah, I bet sometimes you see like content strategy and it's like, oh, okay, on Monday I have to post this and Tuesday I have to post this. And it seems very like overwhelming and like not a lot of give and take, which is kind of how I see it sometimes. Like I'm guilty of that, of being like, no, a content strategy has to be like write out 45 captions today, you know, but it could just be like, this is the vibe of the month that I want to kind of talk about.
Yeah. And I have like ADD, so I have to be organized or I will like just fall, like everything will just be bad. So being able to at least just plan out what I'm posting on YouTube, on the podcast, having some guests lined up, because I used to have like the guests like recording the same week as I would post it, but then I would like,
oof.
Like, yeah, like I would fall behind and it would stress me out, but I would stay up late to edit it and all these things. So just having a more like planned out has helped me, especially with having freelance clients now, knowing when I'm going to work on my stuff and knowing when I'm going to work on theirs has just been like a game changer for me.
Totally. I love that. Yeah. I've definitely been guilty of posting it like the next day, recording and posting it.
Yeah.
And I have a podcast producer, but he's my partner. So I feel okay to make him do it last minute.
Yeah. I feel like I've done that too, but then I feel like I'm so rushed and my podcast is not really edited much. Mostly it's like the pauses, the ums, or like, you know, with my dog, like this one is making noise in the background, but I try not edit it too much, but I feel like when I would rush it, I would miss like little things that like people probably wouldn't even realize, but I did. And it annoyed me. So being able to have at least like 3 days to like not rush it has been ideal, but now I'm like very ahead. I have like already 3 pre-recorded for the month. So it's like, it's going well so far. We'll see how long I can.
Oh, damn. It. Congrats. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Amazing. Yeah, this has been such a fun conversation. I'm curious, because the title of this is going to be balancing the good and bad of being your own boss. I'm curious what your favorite thing about being your own boss is and your least favorite thing.
Okay. Yeah. So my favorite thing is basically making your own schedule, being able to travel when I want to, because like I said, I like concerts and things like that. I'm also getting to pick and choose who I work with. I feel like that's really fun because there's been people that reached out to me and like they were going to pay well and all these things, but I didn't really align with what they were working on. And like, it didn't seem like I would enjoy it. So I would say no, which was a very big thing for me because I always had trouble saying no. So being able to choose who I want to work with and working with people that align with me has been really fun. The thing I hate, like I'm going to say hate about it, is the like taxes and all that stuff. Like it stresses me out. Like the amount of times I would give myself anxiety over it, cause I was like, I don't understand anything. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, like all that stuff. I finally sat down with an accountant a month ago and he kind of like talked me through it all and I feel better about it, but it's still like my least favorite thing. And I'm excited to get to a point where like I could financially have like a full-time accountant, like working with all my stuff, because I can track it and everything, but it's just like, I'm not good at numbers and it gives me a headache. And that's like my least favorite part about it. Because when you work at a corporate job or like a 9-to-5, like all your taxes are taken out for you already. And like all that's done, all you have to do is at the end of the year, file them. But when you're a business owner, you have to like keep track of all your business expenses, put money aside for this and that. When you're Canadian, you have to charge HST or GST when you reach a certain point and you have to sign up for that. Like I didn't know any of these things. And it was stressful to like understand it. And I would Google so much and that would stress me out more because then I was hearing like 3-4 different things and I was like, I don't know what's right. So I think that's like my least favorite part.
Wholeheartedly agree. Wholeheartedly. I love your favorite thing, because I'm a firm believer in like, you can learn tasks and you can learn new skills, especially me. I'm like a general admin VA. So I'm kind of just like a little bit of everything, which I really love, because then it's like learning new stuff. But I really kind of hone into like, if I feel good on the discovery call of like, if you seem like someone nice to work with. So I love that you can kind of trust that, and the people pleasing, I get that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm a very big people pleaser. And that's something I also have to like unlearn, that like I can't just say yes to everything and everyone, because that's just not the reality.
Totally. Totally. I also hate taxes. They're so complicated for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like, it's just a whole thing. I'm like, I just want it to be easy, but it's not for me. But I mean, accountants totally. Make good money, so good for them, but it's too complicated for me.
I feel that. I'm also bad at like, if I get like I send an invoice and I get paid, I'm like, yeah, money. And it's like, I don't want to put 20% aside or however much aside.
It's not fun. Cause then like when we would work like a part-time job or whatever, or a full-time job, when we would get paychecks like bi-weekly, it's like, they already take the taxes out for you. So what you see on your paycheck is what you get. But now when you invoice, it's not all that you're getting. And you have to be very like strict on it, because I feel like if like once or twice a month, like you don't put it aside, whatever, you might fall behind. But if you like don't put anything aside each month when tax season comes, it's like obviously going to be like, I've never done it yet as a full-time person, so I don't know. But I feel like it's going to be a good chunk of money that I'm going to have to pay. So I'd rather have the amount than like have to like figure out how to like pay it, you know?
Totally. I'm going to share my little confession here. I didn't do that for like 2 years. I like didn't do my taxes for 2 years of starting my business, and I was really bad at like putting money mm-hmm. aside. So that's my little confession. Would not recommend.
Yeah, because then it like adds up after.
Yeah, it was bad. Also, when you don't pay your taxes for 2 years, they like charge interest on it too. So mm-hmm. that was fun. We're learning. Yeah. We're growing. It's fine.
Yeah, learning curve. At least now, like you've learned and like you know how to do it better, I guess. But that's something that totally. Like I wish like didn't exist, to be honest. But what are you gonna do?
The one downfall of working for yourself.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, I want to share mine too. I think my least favorite is definitely the taxes, because that's hard. Also, like seeing all my friends like reach benefits in their jobs, I was like, I want benefits. And I was like, I guess benefits is just like me paying for massages.
No, literally. You know? But I was like, I didn't even realize like if I have to go to the dentist, like I don't want to pay it. I don't want to go to the dentist. So like, totally. Do I have to go? Like those type of things. It's like, I mean, do you live in Canada?
Yeah, I'm in BC.
Okay. So yeah, like I feel like we're very like lucky with like the cost of things compared to the US. Totally. But it's still like, I don't want to pay it. Like, no. And then I was looking for like self-employed benefits that I can pay into, and they're so expensive. It's like $200 a month, when like if I go to the dentist once, it's like $250. So I'm like, why am I paying $200 a month? Like, you know, it doesn't like make sense. So I don't have any benefits right now, which like I don't know if that's good or bad. Totally. But I mean, that's like a struggle. I wish I did have, especially for like massages and like stuff like that, or like therapy. Like therapy is totally. Expensive. Like when I don't see my therapist anymore right now, because it's expensive. It's like $150 per session. So like having that come out of your pocket and not having anyone like help you pay it is like crazy.
Totally. I know. I keep seeing my sister. She like just got her benefits at her job. So she's like going to the dentist and like she just got glasses. And I was like, oh, that's cool for you. That's fun.
Yeah.
She's like,
not relatable. Going to the
chiropractor and massages. And I was like,
literally not relatable at all.
Right.
I mean, we could, but.
Yeah.
A lot.
It hits different when you got to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. When like you don't get anything back at all. Like it's like, do I really need to go? Like, is it crucial? Like.
Totally. Totally. I think my favorite part of working for myself too is like, I think I said it already, being able to like take my business with me. Cause in 2020 and 2021, my partner and I moved a lot. And we moved like every 3 to 4 months kind of thing. Being that I think we moved like a every digital nomad months. Yeah,
that's
we fun. Moved a lot. We stayed like in BC because pandemic, but like we moved around a lot, like on the island and like to Whistler and kind of like back to the island, hopped around. And I was talking to somebody and she was like, hey, do you want to get coffee? And I was like, I actually moved like 6 hours away. And she was like, oh wow, like that's a big life change. And I was like, it wasn't, because I was able to like open my computer and continue working like the day we moved kind of thing. And I think that's my favorite part, is like being able to continue to make money on the road.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's fun. And I plan on traveling a lot more this year because I'm not in school anymore. So I have the time. So hopefully more travels for 2023.
Yes. If you come to BC, hit me up.
I will. I went to Vancouver. I don't know how far that is from like everything else, but that was the furthest I went on the West Coast in Canada. So maybe I'll come near there again.
Yeah.
But it's expensive to fly within Canada. Like it makes no sense. Like
the monopoly, it's so bad.
Yeah. Like to go to Vancouver, the flight costs like $600. And when I flew to LA, it cost $600. So I was like,
wild.
Why? Yeah.
I know they've gotten better now because there's like Swoop and Flair, which are like two Canadian airlines. So I actually found a really cheap flight from like Kelowna to Victoria for Christmas. It was like $90, but that's still so expensive.
Okay, that's good. It's like, yeah, it's expensive, but it's like better than 600, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was talking to a friend like years ago and it's like, why is it if I want to get from Vancouver to Toronto, why is it cheaper if I have a layover in like Ireland?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's like not logical.
So wild. Such a monopoly.
Yeah, I agree. It's crazy.
Cool. I have two more questions for you before we kind of, well, as we wind down. I'm very curious what your unpopular opinion is around. Could be first thing that comes to mind, but anything you talked about.
So something I've been saying a lot is I guess it's specifically for like YouTube and like content creation is that I don't think that you need to niche down. And that's something that a lot of people are like, always like, oh, like choose a niche down, blah, blah, blah. But I am personally against it. I don't think you need to niche down. I think that having a niche kind of puts you in a box. And I did that to myself. So at the beginning of YouTube, like I said, I used to do skits, but I also used to do like LGBT plus content because I am bisexual and I'm open about that. But I used to do that. And that's like kind of what made my channel grow quite a lot. And I kind of put myself in a box, and getting out of that box was so tough because people only subscribed to me for that content. So when I started changing it, people were like, I don't want this. Like, this is not what I signed up for. So I think not niching down is the way to go. And that's just my personal opinion. I know a lot of people are against that. And they're like, no, like the only way to grow is if you niche down. But for longevity, I think it's not a thing to do.
I love that. I'm a firm believer that you don't need to niche. Also, firm believer that it's niche and not niche. If you say niche, just unsubscribe.
Yeah, no. No, literally. I'm like, I heard someone say that once and I was like, what are they saying? It's niche.
Right? I watched a whole training on someone like talking about like niching down and she called it niching down the entire time. And I almost signed off. I was like, I can't do this.
No, I would have not been able to.
I wholeheartedly agree that you don't need to niche down because it's me. Like I'm a virtual assistant and I kind of do like the general admin side. So I do, like I was saying, I do a little bit of everything. And it's like throughout the years, I've kind of gone back and forth of being like, I need to niche down. I need to like become a social media manager or like a podcast producer, or like specifically Kajabi, you know, like something niche so I can like kind of like charge more for like higher quality. And it's like, I don't want to. I love doing a little bit of everything, you know?
Yeah. That's what, like, I do that like within my freelance stuff. I do podcast editing, video editing, and social media management. They're very like three different things, but it's fun because it's not like I'm doing the same thing every day type of thing. And working with different people, it's always different. And then with my YouTube, like I do variety content. I do lifestyle, do entrepreneurship. I talk about books. I talk about travel. I think it's just more fun for me. And it can tap into like many different people because you're offering such a different variety of things.
Totally. And I think it kind of speaks to what we were talking about too, of like when my client, like when she started posting what she wanted to, of like what she was doing, it did more and it's like got more views.
Yeah.
And that's just a testament to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. Well, this has been such an amazing conversation. It was so good to meet you and have this podcast.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. I'm so excited for, I think we're recording in a couple of days on your podcast.
Yes. Yes, I'm excited for that too.
I can't believe I'm going to be up there with the ranks of Remy Cruz.
Yeah, it's so crazy. I also had someone from, I don't know if you watched The Bachelor, but I had someone from The Bachelor on, which was like my first and only reality TV person. And I was like, that's like, I don't know. It's weird because, I mean, I don't know if anyone would know, but her name is Anna Redmond and she was like a villain on The Bachelor. So it was kind of like fun to like, talk to her and actually get to know her than like the version that like they portrayed on TV. But one last thing I'm going to say is, I don't know if you know OK Sis, the podcast.
Sounds like, familiar.
Yeah, they're two sisters. Anyways, one of them said how podcasting is like the biggest scam in a way that like you can talk to anyone and everyone from a podcast. And this is the way that you like you can make friendships with people you never thought you'd make friends with, like things like that. Like if you asked me when I was like 16, if I ever thought I'd talk to Remy, like, no, like, I don't know. And like, you know, Alicia, I guess, because you listened to Pretty Basic. I also kind of became friends with her producer, Taylor, before she kind of blew up. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Nice. Yeah. Like when she like first started posting on YouTube and everything, I like found her channel. I was like, oh, like, you're so cool. And then I found out that she worked with Alicia, and I had Taylor TK on my podcast as well. But like, I never, like, when I first started the podcast, I never thought I'd be able to talk to like these people that like have such a big platform. I mean, it's fun to talk to people with small, medium, big platforms, but just like, I don't know. I never thought I'd be able to talk to like people that I've watched and like looked up to in a way.
Totally. It kind of puts you all on the same level, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my biggest fangirl moment is I had one of the coaches that I follow. Her name's Shoshana. And she's like, preaches about her like multi-million dollar business, which is amazing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so cool. Like, she'd never talk to me. And then she like came on my podcast, and I was like, it's like that John Mulaney skin. And it's like, yeah, he's super famous and been in movies, but I know where the bathroom is.
No, literally. And it's like, that just goes to show that like, if you want someone on your podcast, if you have a podcast, honestly, just reach out. You know, the worst they're going to say is no. I've gotten one person, actually, only one, be like, no, like, you're not big enough for me. Only once out of like the, what, 3-4 years that I've been doing it. It kind of annoyed me, but at the end of the day, it was like, that's the worst thing that can happen is them saying no to you.
Totally.
So just like shoot your shot. You never know who you can have on. And I feel like podcasting is such a big thing now, especially with Caller Daddy. I don't really listen to her, but the guests that she's been able to have on her podcast is crazy. And it just opens up like more opportunities for other podcasters to have, like Miley Cyrus was on her like podcast. That's like wild to me.
I'm manifesting that. Miley Cyrus, yes. Wildly Balanced.
Yes.
I'll tweet it tonight.
Yes, do that.
I love this. This has been such a fun conversation. I'm so excited. Last question I have for you is what your permission slip is this week for this episode. I can share mine first to give you a second to think about it. My permission slip is to take a break after this and just like sign off for an hour, have some me time, and make that a part of my regular routine every day.
Yeah, I think mine would be to just, I guess it's like a week thing, to give myself one day of the week where I don't do anything for my business, for my content creation, just like read a book if I want to, or like watch Netflix all day if I want to. That's something that I've been trying to implement and give myself permission to do. So that would be mine, to just give yourself a day to do nothing at all.
I love it. I love that so much. That's so good. Well, this has been so good. Can you tell us where our listeners can find you online?
Yeah, thank you so much again for having me. You can find my YouTube. It's Amanda Wan. My Instagram is It's Amanda Wan. And in there, honestly, is linked to everything. You'll see like my podcast, which is Behind the Girl Boss. You'll see my Wan Media account there. My digital planners is in the bio. Yeah, I think that's it. Everything's on my Instagram, literally.
Amazing. We'll have your Instagram and then also your like link in bio. Or whatever link you have. There's so many different ones. We'll have that link.
Yeah, I think, I don't even know which one I use anymore. There's like so many.
I just have like a page on my website. Too basic.
Smart.
Keep it all in one place.
Yeah.
Amazing. This was so good. I love this. I always feel so inspired after podcast interviews.
Me too. It's like, okay, I'm ready to like do whatever. Like,
yes.
Yeah, I feel that way each
time. Take on the world.
Yeah.
Amazing. So yeah, go check her out. Check out her YouTube, her Instagram, check out her digital planners. If you're on Instagram, check us out, wildly.balanced. Yeah. Thanks so much.